this guy lives on my street who'd rather drive than walk 10 feet. It's something just to watch him start his day. Well, there he sits behind the wheel, all alone in his automobile, using all that gas to get himself to town. This guy's a clown.
He ought to pull his resources to share a ride with a neighbor.
Make a friend and maybe save some money, too. And so should you. Well, there's this other guy I know who's found a better way to go. He's saving gas and money each and every day. He only drives one day a week, takes it easy, so to speak. His pocketbook will prove he really ain't no fool. He's in a carpool. We've got to pool our resources, share a ride with a neighbor, make a friend, and maybe save some money, too. Why couldn't you? Pick up a phone and call CARPOOL. They'll tell you how.
This is KOIN in Portland. It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. John Dean is scheduled to surrender to federal marshals in Washington Tuesday to begin his 1 to 4 year prison term imposed in early August after a guilty plea to conspiracy in the Watergate break-in cover-up. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Judge Sirica, who had allowed Dean a full month after sentencing to get his affairs in order, had also recommended that he serve the stretch at the minimum security prison in Lompoc, California. But though the specifics of his confinement have not been made public, it's felt Dean may be held for a while at Fort Holabird, Maryland, in order to be available as a witness at the cover-up trial, which begins late in September. Hurricane Carmen may be back to mere tropical storm strength when it returns to open water in the Gulf of Mexico in the hours ahead. The great storm, which forecasters at the Miami Hurricane Center said rates about a 4 on a scale with 5 the worst, slammed into Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula early Monday with top winds of 175 miles an hour. The journey across the peninsula has decreased wind speed to an average strength of less than 100 miles an hour now, but Hurricane Center forecaster Paul Hebert said Carmen's emergence over the open water may give the storm renewed vigor.
Winds may drop below hurricane strength briefly before the center reaches the water. It's expected to regain intensity to hurricane strength later in the day. Current indications are that the future track of Carmen still is somewhat uncertain. However, any movement will be rather slow during the next 12 to 18 hours.
Forecaster Hebert said Carmen caused no deaths but did knock out electricity during its pass over the Yucatan. More news in 1 minute.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person. But there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. People who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. Yes, Tom Clancy's got a very good job. But what about all the others? The Director of Vocational Rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the Director of Vocational Rehabilitation, which is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
A delegation of East German diplomats arrived in Washington tonight. They'll spend the next few days trimming up details of an agreement which will be signed Wednesday at the State Department, formally reestablishing diplomatic relations between the two nations. There's been little speculation on when President Ford might name an ambassador to East Berlin, but there has been some talk that the man for the job, John Cooper, the former GOP senator from Kentucky. More disorders occurred Monday in Newark, New Jersey. Hundreds of protesters, mostly from the city's Puerto Rican community, gathered at City Hall, even as Mayor Kenneth Gibson met with community leaders to discuss the triggering incident, the handling of disorders at a Puerto Rican festival the day before. Some store windows were smashed Monday, stones were tossed at City Hall, and several fires were set, but Newark Police Director Hubert Williams tended to downplay the seriousness of the situation.
I think we've been very fortunate. There's been no one killed as a result of these incidents. There's been no one seriously injured, to my knowledge. And there's been very few arrests made so far.
Despite the view of the police director, Newark's Mayor Gibson urged all residents to voluntarily stay indoors until further notice, saying the city had reached a critical situation. More after this.
Hi.
Hi. I'm in nuclear research.
Nuclear research?
Uh-huh.
Hey, wow. I took you for a salami.
I beg your pardon?
A salami salesman, I thought for sure. Nuclear research.
Yeah.
And so young. Doesn't that take years and years of college?
Not necessarily. Well, today you can have a college grad's career with only a year or two of technical education. Look, it's all here in this free book, 25 Technical Careers in 2 Years or Less. It tells you how you can get into programming, chemistry, architecture, community service work, forestry.
Forestry? That would be great for this friend of mine. He loves to play in the woods.
Play in the woods.
Where do you get this free book, 25 Technical Careers?
Just write Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202.
Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202?
Yeah, send for it. It tells you how you can have a college grad's career without 4 years of college.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council. The 100th anniversary convention of the Women's Christian Temperance Union has ended with the election of a new president, Mrs. Herman Stanley of Evanston, Illinois. The convention this year in Cleveland had stressed the role of youth in the anti-alcohol organizations, partly in hopes of correcting what were called common misconceptions involving the image of the WCTU. Meantime, researchers say they believe they found a link between alcohol and inheritance. The study, conducted in Denmark, involved sons of known alcoholics divided into two groups. One group was reared by the natural parents. The other people were adopted and raised by parents without alcohol problems. Nevertheless, both groups were shown to have a comparable rate of alcohol troubles. The study was conducted by Dr. Donald Goodwin of the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis and other American and Danish scientists. This is Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
75 years ago, Oregon was one big park. You could fish, camp, picnic, just about anywhere. Weren't no giant cities, no concrete, just Oregon. Like she'd been for thousands of years. Of course, most of that's changed now. Instead of green...
There's a ground war going on in Oregon. A struggle for land between progress and preservation. We're the Oregon Parks Foundation, and all we want to do is keep as much of Oregon as possible for you to enjoy in parks and open spaces. That takes land and money. If you can volunteer a few dollars or a few acres, write Oregon Parks Foundation, care of this station. Because if we lose this ground war, who knows what Oregon will be like by the time you're his age.
Well, my dad and me used to skip rocks across this pond. Now it's a parking lot.
My tale is about greed, the lust for gold. It has been said about the hunger for money that it is an overwhelming appetite that feeds on itself and can never be sated. Even the most honorable man can feel the hunger pangs that are caused by poverty.
I thought of you trying to make a home for us out of the few dollars I earn. I was wet and tired and angry, and I kept thinking, he has so much and locks it away, not even spending anything for his own comfort, keeping it from us who need it so badly.
What are you saying, Hans?
I'm saying that in my mind, a red dot began to form. And it grew and grew till it turned into a word I could read.
Hans!
That word was kill.
Mystery drama, The Return of Anatole Chevenix, was written especially for Mystery Theater by Sidney Sloan and stars Alexander Scourby. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The Marine Corps Reserves are looking for a few good men to help keep the peace. Nobody likes to fight. But somebody has to know how. We want men who want to see their children grow up in an age of peace. Men who will do more than wish for it. Men who will work for it. Men who don't need the draft to know there's a job to be done. Men who ask themselves what they can do for their country and do it. We're looking for a few good men to stand with the Marine Corps Reserve. No shortcuts, no compromises, no promises except one. You'll be a Marine, and you'll be ready. That's the job of a peacekeeper.
Certainly, I've heard that phrase, give to the college of your choice. It's difficult to take issue with. No doubt our colleges do need increased support, if for no other reason than the erosion of the dollar. I personally am aware of what inflation has done since I graduated. What's that? No, I haven't increased my own contribution to my college. It's the same as always. I'm sure you know what it is. I've been so busy, not just with my career, but with the various community affairs and the professional groups. Sure, just as soon as I've managed to get on top of things, I intend to evaluate...
Take the time now to think about what inflation has done to your own contribution. Take the time now and give more to the college of your choice.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Cold, rainy evening in late fall that found Hans Chevenik pressing forward, leaning into the wind, down the dark side street in the poor section of the town where his uncle Anatole lived and ran his junk business. It was with a feeling of relief that he made the shelter of the overhang of his uncle's porch. He paused, more out of reluctance to face the man than fatigue from his long, wet walk.
Oh, you! Wonder you bothered to come at all. I got a good mind to slam the door in your face and tell you to go back where you came from.
I'm sorry, Uncle Anatole.
Well, come in, and shut the door. You're getting my house all wet. When I ask you to come at 7, I don't mean 7:30.
But I don't get through with my other job until 6:15.
Only takes 30 minutes to get here on the bus.
Uncle, it was raining.
All right, raining. I know that. So let's drop that and get down to work. You're to go down into the cellar and start bringing up all the copper scrap piled up there. Then I
want
you...
Uncle,
well, what is it now?
Vicky made a sandwich for me. I haven't had my supper yet.
Always some excuse to stall.
I'm not stalling.
Well, go ahead, eat. Don't waste more time talking about it. Yeah. Well, what have you got there?
Just some bread and a piece of cheese.
Occurs to me that I haven't had anything since this morning.
Well, would you share it with me, Uncle?
Don't mind if I do.
Here.
Cheese is kind of stale.
It's all we had in the house.
Well, it's better than nothing.
Uncle, I've been meaning to ask you something.
As long as you don't ask for money.
That's just it.
I'm afraid it might be. Well, I don't want to hear about your troubles. I've got enough of my own.
You've got lots of money, Uncle.
Who told you that? Who told you?
Well, you did. You told me every time I come here how much you've got.
Not exactly. Not exactly how much.
No, but you said it's a lot.
Yeah. A lot. A great deal. More than you've ever dreamed of. And it'll all be yours, Hans, my boy. I'm making you my heir.
Making? Well, you said it was already in your will.
Will? Said maybe I'd leave it all to you, or maybe...
You didn't say maybe. You said you were going to give it all to me. I was your only heir.
Well, there's still my nephew Jamie to be considered, son of my favorite sister.
You said you didn't like him.
Never said that.
You did. You said you didn't like him because he'd become an actor.
Nothing to do with it. Acting is an honorable profession. At least he has a job. More than I can say for other members of this family.
Now, look, I've got a job.
Shoe repair. Part-time. can't make a decent living. Come over here, get a few dollars, sponging on your relatives.
Well, you've never given me a cent I didn't earn, not a red cent.
Isn't because you ain't asked.
I've asked you because I needed it, Uncle Anatole. Look, Vicky and I, we've got so little. It isn't easy to beg.
I don't want to hear any more of this jabbering. Now that you're finished with your supper, down to the cellar with you. And start bringing up that cup of scrap. Get moving, get moving. Don't you look at me that way. I know what's on your mind. I can read you like a book. But think of this, Hans, my boy. Before you go too far, you don't know where the money's hid. This is what protects me from your evil intentions. You'd get nothing. Because you'd never find the money. Never!
Is that you, Mark?
Yeah, Vicky. Sorry I woke you.
Oh, well, I couldn't sleep anyway. I was worried about you. What time is it?
Nearly 2 in the morning. I'm soaked. Still raining.
Oh, but take off your wet things, dear.
Yeah.
Uncle Anatole kept you late tonight.
Worked me late, you mean?
He's taking advantage of you, Hans.
I know it. He knows it.
Paying you so little and holding that inheritance in front of your nose like a carrot in front of a donkey so you'll go on working.
That's what I'm turning into, a donkey, a beast of burden.
Suppose he decides to give it to somebody else when he dies?
He can't.
What do you mean? He can give it to anyone he wants to. To your cousin Jamie? Daddy went to charity.
He wouldn't give it to charity. He doesn't know the meaning of the word. As for cousin Jamie, I know something he doesn't know. Jamie is dead.
Dead?
Yes.
When? How?
About 6 months ago, he was killed in an automobile accident in San Francisco. I wrote and got all the details. Car caught fire after crashing. He was identified from papers in his wallet.
Then you're bound to get the money.
When?
Well, when he...
dies?
Couldn't you persuade him to give you some of the money now?
I suggested that the night he flew into a rage, accused me of planning his death.
Oh, he didn't mean
that. He meant it. He as much as said the only thing that was keeping me from killing him was the fact that I didn't know where the money was hidden.
But that's ridiculous. It's almost comical.
That's the way I felt about it when he said it. I was hurt that he would even joke about anything so horrible.
Oh, Hans, knowing you the way I do, knowing the kind of man you are, how kind you are, how gentle... the whole thing's utterly impossible.
Is it?
Hans.
You know, coming back on the bus, I thought of what he'd said. And I thought of you trying to make a home for us out of the few dollars I earned. I was wet and tired and angry inside. I kept thinking he has so much and he locks it away, not even spending anything for his own comfort, keeping it from us who need it.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that in my mind, a small red dot began to form. It grew and grew, and then it turned into a word that I could read.
Hans!
That word was kill. May I speak to Mr. Crandall, please? Aunt Chevenix calling. Miss Crandall? Yeah, I got your letter. I know I'm 10 days late with the payment. Yes, sir, I know that what the contract reads, but... needs, but oh, no, sir, I wouldn't want that to happen. But you see... Well, I'm expecting a sum of money. Money owed to me. Yes, sir. Thursday at 4 p.m. sharp. I'll be there, Mr. Crandall. You can depend on it.
My money.
No, I never said that, Uncle Anatole.
I can read your thoughts, Hans, and they are filled with hate for me.
I am your heir. It doesn't matter if you like me. I'm your only heir. I'll get your money.
Jamie would get it.
He's dead, killed in an auto accident.
You're lying to deceive me, but you'll never get the money.
you miser. You've taken advantage of me. You've worked me hard. You've paid me so little it hardly mattered. Now I'm going to get what you owe me.
Put down that gun. Put it down.
You're going to have to get the money now. Now or I'll kill you.
You won't find the money.
It's my money. It's my money. I promise it to me.
Wait up.
What are you doing at Uncle Anatole's house?
Hans, you're at home.
What?
You've been having a bad dream.
A dream? Oh, thank the Lord. I'm so glad it was just a dream.
You were talking about Uncle Anatole.
Oh, heaven help me. I dreamt that I was going to kill him.
Oh, my poor Hans. What a terrible dream. You could never do such a thing.
No, darling, I could never do any such thing.
Hans!
Yes, Uncle Anatole?
Not finished yet?
No.
How long do you have to stall when I'm not watching
Look,
you?
I wasn't stalling.
Well, leave that iron scrap and come upstairs out in the cellar. I got something for you to do here.
Uncle Anatole, I wonder if you'd mind if I left a little earlier tonight. You can take it off the money with the money I've got coming to me.
I don't mind. I don't mind if you never come back for that matter. Work too much for you?
No, please. Look, Vicky is sick. She was running a fever when I left.
Sure. Here, take your money and get out. And don't bother to come back.
What? Oh, please, Uncle Anatole. It's only because I'm worried about Vicky.
Sure. Pick up your stuff and get out.
You don't believe me. Look, Uncle, I need the work. I'll come early tomorrow.
There ain't going to be no tomorrow for you, Hans. I don't want to see your face again.
But, Uncle...
Out, you understand?
Okay, I'll go. For years you've held the inheritance money over my head to make a slave of me. But now I realize the truth. There is no money. There never was. You've lied to me to get me to work for you.
No money, eh? No money, you say? Well, now that I know your true feelings about me, I'm going to show you the money.
What?
I'm going to show you what you've lost with your suspicions, your nasty, evil suspicions. Follow me. You're not more than 10 feet away from your inheritance.
What?
That you will never get. Here, give me a hand with this big chest. Push it.
Uncle.
Just shut up and give me a hand with this heavy old chest. Come on.
I'm sorry that
just
I...
Just keep your mouth closed and help me push. Come on.
All right.
Push. That's enough. Now, scrape that dirt where the chest was standing.
What?
Go ahead.
I've had enough from you. I'll kill you.
Go.
Uncle. Uncle. Speak to me. No. You're not dead. You're not dead.
And so the timid rabbit discovers he has fangs and claws. In that moment of decisive action, there was one thing that did not occur to Hans Chevenix. How could he explain what he had done to his wife, who believed in him and trusted him? How could he tell her that he had killed? For, of course, his conscience troubled him. But deep in his heart was a feeling that he had grown. A secret feeling of elation. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Excuse me, madam.
Oh, I'm in an awful hurry.
I just wonder if you could answer a simple question
so
for me.
So do I.
The question is this.
What?
What happens this time of year?
Oh, that's easy. The kids get home from camp. Goodbye.
Nope.
What do you mean, nope?
Nope.
I mean, I should know when my kids get home from camp.
Well, the answer I had in mind was a tad more general in scope.
Cool, I gave my answer. Let's hear yours.
You know, I'm glad you asked.
Are you?
You see, what happens this time of year is that Buick dealers are giving particularly great deals on older 74 Buicks. For a family woman such as yourself, I think a neat little Apollo would be just the ticket. It's small, economical, but surprisingly roomy. And it's a Buick, so it's really quite elegant.
You don't say.
Uh-huh. Now, isn't that good news?
Yes.
I mean, that you can get such a nifty deal on such a nifty small car.
To be sure it is, yes.
To be sure. By the way, where do your kids go to camp?
Guam. It's a small island in the South Pacific.
Guam.
You're driving through town. You pass a sign you may have seen 1,000 times, but never really noticed. The sign of your local American Red Cross chapter. Look behind that sign, and you'll see that the good neighbor is on call 24 hours a day. Not only to help when major disasters strike, but with hundreds of special and personal needs of people in trouble. People who suffer. People you know. You'll find us helping to feed and shelter people when there's a flood or a hurricane. You'll also find us teaching blind kids to swim, new citizens to learn English, and helping addicts to unravel their snarled lives. Across the country, in fact, we get involved in over 100 different helping people jobs. American Red Cross. It's working right where you live. Join us.
When Hans Chevenix returned home that night, he slipped into the house as silently as he could. He knew he couldn't face Vicky with the mark of Cain on his forehead. The next morning, he left before she awakened for the same reason. When he returned home from work that evening, he thought he had himself sufficiently under control to look her in the eye.
Hans, that you?
Yes, Vicky.
Well, come into the kitchen. I've got something on the stove.
Oh, it sure smells good.
Well, I made a little stew for you. It's ready any time you are. Sit down.
Sure, sure. Anytime.
Tastes good on a cool, blustery day like this.
Vicky, you're putting it all on my plate again.
I've eaten all
it. You did the same thing yesterday. Said you'd eaten when you hadn't.
Well, you work hard, dear. You need more than I do.
Nonsense. Now, sit right down. We're going to share this. Now, start eating.
Oh, Hans. Please forgive me. I don't want to come.
I know, dear. Things have been very tough for the last year or so. But I tell you, they're going to get better. I've had a bit of good luck. Look at this.
What is it?
What is it? It's a $20 gold piece.
Oh, I've never seen one before.
The government stopped minting them years ago. They're collector's items now.
This little bit of gold worth $20?
Worth a lot more than that. I'm giving it to you. A present.
A present? Well, what could I do with it?
Keep it. Or sell it. It'd bring quite a bit. Well over $200, I think.
Hans, where did you get it?
I found it. I was on the bus this morning, and I looked down, and there was this little gold glint right under my feet.
Did you report that you found it?
No. No, I'll go around to the bus company lost and found tomorrow and report it. Hey, I almost forgot. I really have some big news for you. I've been offered a new job. A good one.
Really? Who offered it?
Well, you remember I told you about that Mr. Congreve who came into the shop to have some shoes repaired?
Congreve?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember you mentioning him before.
Well, sure I didn't. Well, he got to talking with me and he sort of liked me and said if ever I wanted to change my job to look him up.
I can't recall you ever saying anything about him.
Well, sure I did. You, look, you just don't listen. So, anyway, he walks this morning and says he's been thinking about me for a long time and that a good job has just opened up with his company in Arswell. I'd be a foreman in charge of about 25 men.
Hans, this whole thing is sort of a... I don't know, it's come so fast.
Now, listen to me, Vicky. We've had so much bad luck that you're afraid to believe the good luck. This Mr. Congreve liked me, and he's offered me a chance.
But he doesn't even know you. Just talked to you that once.
He had a hunch about me. Honey, look, let's not turn this one good thing that's happened to us into a question and answer game. Now, there's only one thing about the job you might not like. I'm going to be away from you for a couple of months until the job is set. You understand?
Well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it has to be.
Oh, come on. Let me see a smile on your pretty face. That's better. Things are going to be all right from now on. Trust me. Yes, can I help you?
Oh, are you Mr. Chevenick? Anatole Chevenick?
No, I'm his nephew, Hans.
Well, this is Anatole Chevenick's house, isn't it?
That's right.
He in? I have a registered letter for him. Has to be signed.
No, he's not in. In fact, he's left. He's left the country.
Oh. You know, I've been delivering mail to him for 3 years now, and I never saw him once. Talked to him through the door one time. They told me to push the mail under the door, but never opened it.
Yes, he had some peculiar habits.
Well, in my job, you get to see a lot of strange... You said had?
What?
You said had, as though he was dead.
What, did I?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean it that way. He's... gone off to South Africa, Johannesburg. Spent most of his early life there, you know. He felt he was sort of, well, going home, so to speak.
The letter.
Letter?
Yeah. Registered. Reason I came. Got to be signed for.
Well,
guess you could do it.
Well, I don't like signing his name.
Oh, just sign your own. It'll be all right. Right here.
Okay.
Thanks.
Here you
are. Have a good day.
Thank you. Oh. Damn. Gotta watch myself. That was a bad slip. I wonder if he was suspicious. Oh. Hello?
Hello. May I speak with Anatole Chevenick, please?
Well, he's not here.
What do you mean he's not there?
He's gone. He's left the country. Yeah, it was all very sudden. He left probably after you talked to him.
Very strange. He said nothing about any plans to go away. Where did he go?
Africa. South Africa.
What? South Africa?
Yes. You see, he'd spent the better part of his early life there, in Johannesburg.
I never heard that. Who are you?
I'm his nephew, Hans Chevenick.
Oh, Hans Chevenick.
Yes. For me? Who is this?
Surely you can't have forgotten so soon. I thought you would be in Oslo this morning, starting on your new job.
What? How did you know? Oh, you must have spoken with my wife. She expected me to be there. As a matter of fact, I would have been there if it hadn't been for the sudden departure.
Of Uncle Anatole?
Yes, it sort of changed my plans.
Strange the way you said that.
What?
Sudden departure.
Well, what's so strange about that? It's a common expression.
It is also used when speaking of someone dying. Suddenly.
Not at all. Not at all.
Sudden departure, sudden death. See what I mean?
Well, I know. I never meant it that way. I meant my uncle left the country. He went away.
Yes, yes, of course. Well, to get back to the reason for my call. When may I expect you in Arswell?
Expect me in Arswell?
Or have you given up the entire plan?
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yes.
Surely you must be joking. I'm your new boss, George Congreve.
Hello? Who's there?
It's me, dear Hans.
Oh, Hans. I wasn't expecting you when I heard the front door open.
It's all right, Vicky.
Hans, what happened?
What do you mean?
Well, you were supposed to be in Arswell, weren't you? When you left the house Wednesday morning, you said you were catching the bus to Arswell to take the new job.
Well,
But you didn't go.
No, I stopped off to tell Uncle Anatole that I wouldn't be back, that I was quitting my job with him.
Oh, that was very foolish. There wasn't another bus till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. How were you to get to Arswell in the new job?
Look, Vicky, I suppose it didn't make good sense to stop off without thinking how I was going to get to Arswell afterwards.
Well, I was so surprised when the next morning Mr. Congreve came to the door and wanted to know where you were.
Congreve came to the door? What did he look like?
Middle-aged, nicely dressed. As for you, I knew who he was immediately and I got terribly worried about
Vicky,
you.
Vicky, how did you know it was Mr. Congreve?
Well, I knew, that's all. I just knew.
Did he tell you his name? Did he introduce himself first?
I don't know. How could I remember that? Suddenly I was calling him Mr. Congreve, that's all.
Vicky, listen to me. It's very important for me to know whether you called him Mr. Congreve or he told you that his name was Congreve.
I can't see that it makes any difference. It was Mr. Congreve, and he was asking for you.
Okay, all right. What did he want to know?
He wanted to speak to you. He seemed very concerned. Perhaps because you failed to show up for work.
Did he ask about Uncle Anatole?
Uncle Anatole?
Yes.
How would Mr. Congreve know him?
Evidently he does. He knows him very well. He called me there at Uncle Anatole's house.
I don't understand. Now, what does it all mean?
I don't know, Vicky. I wish I did.
Is that the house?
Yeah.
It isn't in very good repair, is it?
Uncle Anatole never would spend a cent if he could help it. Here, up these stairs.
Hans, shouldn't we knock?
There's nobody there. Uncle Anatole couldn't answer. He's gone away.
The place is a mess, isn't it?
Pretty bad. Wait till I put the light on.
I'm glad I decided to come back here with you. I'd be able to get some semblance of order restored. Is Uncle Anatole selling this house?
I guess so. He said he wasn't coming back.
Then it makes sense to clean it up. Better chance of selling it. You wanted me to come here with you, didn't you, Hans?
Well, I didn't want to come alone, Vicky.
Now, just a broom and a bucket of water and I'll start. Have any idea where he keeps the cleaning things?
No, dear. You'll just have to search around till you find them. I'm going down cellar for a while.
All right, Hans. Oh, Hans.
What is it, Vicky?
What have you done about Mr. Congreve?
What do you mean?
Well, what about the job? You were supposed to start 3 days ago. What will Mr. Congreve think?
I don't care what he thinks. Now, look, please stop asking questions, Vicky. All you do is question me.
But I don't understand what's going on, Hans.
Neither do I. But there's something in this house. Still here. And it belongs to me. And I'm going to get it.
Hans.
Huh?
Hans, wake up.
What?
Hans, someone's in the house. I can hear him.
The house? You sure?
I heard him. Listen. Hear it?
Yeah, but this is an old house. Old houses creak at night.
It isn't just that. I heard something. Someone bumped into something in the dark.
Well, I don't believe there's anyone there, but
I'll go take a look.
You have a flashlight?
No, I'll just switch on the lights downstairs.
Do you want me to come with you?
If you want to, come on. I'll feel along the wall for the light switch. Hold on to my arm. Here, I've got it.
I don't see anything out of the ordinary.
It's probably just your imagination. You know, those noises.
No, I heard something.
Well, no one's in the house as far as I can see. Come on, let's go back to bed.
All right, Hans. Hans.
A phone.
At this hour?
I'll get it. You stay here. Yes?
Hello? Anatole Chevenik?
He's not here.
Oh, he's there. He's there, all right. But he isn't able to answer. Is that what you mean?
But please, what do you want?
I told you. I want to speak with Anatole Chevenik.
He can't speak with you. He's not here.
Is this Hans Chevenik?
Yes, this is Hans.
Hans? This is George Congreve.
No. No, there is no George Congreve. He's just a lie. A lie I told my wife. There is no George Congreve.
And so, in a lie told by Hans Chevenik, an imaginary man is conjured up to haunt him. To the tortured man, the unreal has more substance than the real. With the guilt of a murder on his conscience and his fear of the apparition that follows him relentlessly, can his mind stay in balance? I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
When you say Budweiser,
when you say Bud, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say Bud, you've gone as far as you can go to get the very best. You've said the word that means you like to do it all. When you say but, it means you want the beer that's got a taste that's number one. When you say but, you tell the world you know what makes it all the way. When you say but, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Quiet! Halt!
Cigarette?
No need for that. I'm ready.
Blindfold?
Dash it, man. Let's get it over with.
As you wish.
Ready! Ready! Quiet!
Henry, wake up!
Huh?
You're dreaming again. Your tax audit?
Yeah, today's the day.
But you got all your records together.
Well, yes, I do. Aren't you coming?
You don't need me. You're ready.
Can I help you, sir?
Well,
are we all here for an audit?
Uh-huh.
Won't you have a seat?
Thank you.
Well, now, let's see.
If you have good records of your income and receipts for your deductions, an audit of your federal income tax return can be easier than you think.
How did it go, Henry?
No problem. Nothing I couldn't handle.
This message presented on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service.
After his frightening experience on the telephone with a man who calls himself George Congreve, Hans tried to compose himself and put up a brave front for Vicky. But he failed miserably. He felt an overwhelming urge to confess his crime, throw himself at her feet, and ask for the comfort of her forgiveness. But he was afraid that she would be so repelled by the horror of what he'd done that she would turn from him forever. He got out of bed and paced the floor.
Hans?
Huh? What, Vicky?
Don't you want to talk to me?
No.
Come here, Hans. Sit on the bed, please.
Oh, Vicky, what's the point of talking, is it?
All that complicated story about the job in Arswell.
Lies.
And about Mr. Congreve.
Lies. There's no such person. It's just a name that came to me. I used it, that's all.
But I met him.
talk to him. You've talked to him on the telephone.
There's no such person. It's a lie, I tell you. He doesn't exist.
But he does. We both know he does.
Vicky, please stop insisting on that. My mind is spinning. Vicky, please.
Oh, Hans. You've got something terrible on your conscience. First, there was that gold coin that you said you found on the bus. Now, you didn't find it, did you?
No, that was a lie, too.
Then I know it all now. It all fits together. I know what it is you've done.
Oh, my God.
You've stolen your uncle's money.
What? Oh, stolen. Stolen, if that were all. No, Vicky, it's worse. Worse. Much worse. I've committed a murder. I killed him. Vicky, you still here?
Of course, darling.
I must have fallen asleep. But what are you doing here?
What?
Look, I told you everything, and you're still here. I thought you'd...
Run away from you?
Vicky, I wanted to tell you sooner, but I was afraid I'd lose you.
You don't have much faith in me, do you? I love you. And I would fight for you and stay with you no matter what you'd done.
Even murder?
You haven't committed a murder.
Vicky,
I just think you have. It's all confused in your mind. You remember your dream? You dreamt you killed your uncle.
Yes, but
it was
Vicky...
just a dream. You remember, you woke up and said, thank God it wasn't true.
But, Vicky, it came true. That dream came true. I strangled him. And then I took his gold, and I put him in the hole and pushed the big chest back over the trap door.
Hans, you were dreaming.
No, I wish I were. No, I did it.
Listen to me. Now, try to control your thoughts. Just say to yourself, it never happened.
Oh, Vicky.
It never happened. You just imagined it or dreamt it.
It happened. I killed him. I pushed him into the trap in the cellar floor, and he's still there. He's still there.
Hans, did you move the chest away by yourself when Uncle Anatole said he would show you the money?
Oh, no, we both pushed. It was too heavy for me to do alone. Then I opened the trap with the key he gave me, and I saw the gold. I couldn't believe my eyes. And he laughed. He told me that was the last time I would ever see it, that he was cutting me out of his will. And after all that, he commanded me to help him push the chest back over the trap.
And then you struck him?
No, he struck me with his cane because I refused. Look, here it is, this broken cane. He broke it on my back.
There's dried blood on it.
My blood. I begged him to stop it. He just kept hitting me as though he'd gone mad. Finally, I grabbed him. I thought to stop him. I didn't even realize what I was doing. I hated him. I loathed him. And I was strangling him. When I let go of him, he was dead.
And then you took the money?
Yeah. I hid it in another place. I had better use for the trap. It was to be Uncle Anatole's grave. I pushed him in. I closed the trap door and pushed the big chest back over it.
Hans, there's only one way to find out.
You mean move the chest and look into the hole? No.
It's the only way...
No, I couldn't look at his face again.
If he's not there, it means you never killed him.
No, if he's not there, it means he's still alive, and that's more frightening than his being dead.
Moving not an inch.
No, it won't budge. It's helpless. We can't move it.
Look,
maybe I can use this big iron pipe. If I can get it under the edge of the chest and lift it, using it for a lever.
Try it.
Here, give me a hand. Grab the other end of the pipe while I shove it under the edge. There. Now, let me get the other end and lift.
We'll move several inches.
Here. Again.
Only if you were inches more, Hans.
There.
Oh, it's off the trap door. That's the key. Have you got the key?
It's not locked. I never locked it.
Open it.
What?
Anatole is gone.
Hutz, we can't stay here in this house any longer.
What can we do? Where can we go?
We can go to the police.
No, not the police.
You did kill Anatole, and I still doubt that. You did it in self-defense.
No, it was premeditated murder. It was on my mind for months.
Hans, darling, don't condemn yourself.
I killed him for his gold.
Why don't you go to the police and tell them how he was beating you with his cane?
I'll be convicted. Life imprisonment. Oh, Vicky.
Hans, look.
What? Where?
Those muddy footprints across the floor. They're still wet.
They are.
Someone's been here while we were down in the cellar.
Maybe he's still here. Vicky, work your way toward the back door.
Yes. You too.
Open up.
What?
Open up. Oh. I know you're in there, oh. Sniveling mouse. Open up or I'll beat you in an inch of your beast.
It's him. It's Uncle Anatole.
I told you he wasn't dead.
He's dead. He's returned from the dead. Get out, Vicky. Run, please.
I can help.
Get out of here.
How long are you going to bar me from my own house?
Let me speak to him, Sevenick. Perhaps I can make him listen to reason.
Listen to reason? My stout cane will make him listen. Oh, but that's in the cellar where he buried me in the trap.
Oh, good.
You stay here, Anatole. I'll go around and slide breakaway with you.
Good idea, Conrad. Break this one.
No, stay out.
Well, my dear Hans, at last we meet face to face. Why do you keep your head down? Afraid of me?
No. Go away, please.
Shall I open the door and let your uncle in?
No, please.
Come. That's not very hospitable of you, considering it is his own house.
Please don't let him in.
He is in, Hans. In the hole you put him in after you killed him. You did kill him, Hans, and stole all his money. That's true, isn't it?
Yes, I confess it's all true.
Look up. Look at me. There, that's better.
Jamie, no, but you're dead. You were killed in an accident.
False identification, cousin. No, I'm very much alive. And cousin Jamie has come to collect his inheritance.
What?
Now, where did you hide it?
Inheritance? Uncle Anatole's out there. I heard him.
You seem to have forgotten my very special theatrical talents. I did the voice of Uncle Anatole. Listen.
Stalling! Never an honest day's work.
I was also your new employer, George Congreve.
It was you. You, yes. Vicky mentioned that name to you. Told you everything. That's how you knew.
And now I want my money. I knew Uncle had the gold hidden someplace. I came here to find it. But I found that you had been here ahead of me. I could see where the chest had been moved in the cellar, and that's where I found our dear, dear dead Uncle Anatole. In the trap. Now I know you have the gold, and I want it right now.
It's mine. It was to be mine, he said.
Do you want me to produce the body of Uncle Anatole? I can, you know. And you'd go up for life.
But
no buts. Give me the money, and I'll keep my mouth shut. I had no love for the old skinflint either. I just want my inheritance.
Nothing I can do?
Nothing. Just take me to the gold.
All right, come with me. I've got it hidden in the cellar. See those old iron pipes piled over there?
In there?
Yeah. I stuffed old waste paper, some rags, and scrap iron in the end of the pipe to conceal the gold.
I've got to hand it to you. I searched this house from one end to the other night. I knew the gold was here. It was too heavy for you to carry away with you. But I never thought of the pipe. Well, now let's see.
Turn around, Jamie.
Hans, put down that iron bar, Hans.
Gold is mine. He promised it all to me.
Look, I'll split it with you. Hot for you.
No. It's all mine. All mine.
I'm glad you could come.
Oh, I never miss the second Thursday in each month, Doctor.
I think he looks forward to it.
Do you think he really knows
Well, sometimes I feel there is a glimmer, a slight glimmer. There he is. You've got him working with the gardener. He seems to like flowers.
Hans?
I don't think he knows his name. Let him see you.
Hans? I brought you something. A present. Something sweet.
Oh, thank you. You are a nice lady. Here's a flower for you. Yellow. Like a piece of gold.
Hans Chevenik had been walking on the narrow line between sanity and insanity and had finally fallen into the abyss. He remembers only one thing, stronger than anything else, stronger than memory, stronger than life, the glint of gold. I'll be back in a moment.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I saw this perfectly darling mirror in the showroom, so I bought it. But when the truck came, they delivered this thing I never saw before. Now what am I going to do?
Tell you what to do, madam.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, the first thing to do is to call the store manager and tell him what happened. But in the future, when your merchandise is delivered, you should examine the item before the delivery truck leaves. And if it's to be delivered from a warehouse, have a clear understanding with the dealer that unless it is the same as the sample shown to you, you will not accept it or pay for it.
Oh, thank you.
Just part of my job, madam, to help people with their shopping problems.
And there we have it. A tale of greed, which destroyed the lives of four people. Anatole Chevnik returned to haunt the waking and sleeping of his nephew Hans. And the gold, which he hoarded for so many years, brought happiness to no one. Our cast included Alexander Scourby, Anne Petoniak, Gil Mack, and Sid Sloan. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Now, a preview of our next tale.
And what is the whole contract?
That while a person owns this dark imp in the bottle, any request that concerns money, gold, or wealth, no matter how unreasonable, will be satisfied. And that to dispose of this creature and its spell, you must sell it for less than your original price.
Oh, here. $7.40.
$5 is enough.
Okay. Cheap at nearly half the price.
Oh, think first, Barry. Think. Remember, it will keep you rich as long as you live. But remember, too, if you do not sell it for less than you paid for it before you die, your soul will surely rot in hell for eternity.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
is KOIN in Portland, Radio 97. News is next.
CBS News. Police in Newark, New Jersey say that the situation is stable after three suspicious fires and a firebombing tonight in a neighborhood that's mainly Puerto Rican. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Officials in Newark say that no one was hurt tonight when three fires broke out in abandoned buildings and a supermarket, and a convent was firebombed. The trouble followed an afternoon demonstration by nearly 1,000 Puerto Ricans outside City Hall and rock throwing at nearby buildings. The demonstrators were protesting what they call police brutality Sunday at a Puerto Rican picnic. Newark's mayor, Kenneth Gibson, has promised to investigate the police action, but he has not criticized the police force. Gibson has asked the city residents to stay inside their homes until he tells them otherwise.
Most important thing is to have all of the people of Newark understand that we have a critical situation on the streets, and I'm asking that all citizens of Newark and anyone that happens to be in the city to stay indoors, get off the streets and stay indoors until further notice.
Mayor Gibson's Newark has almost 500,000 people, 10% of whom are Spanish-speaking. More CBS News after this.
What's a blood pressure machine in 16 letters?
Easy.
Well, so, what is it?
Sphygmomanometer.
Oh, you're kidding.
Sphygmomanometer.
E-T-E-R. Hey, that's right. It fits. Now tell me what it is.
Well, it's a cuff with a dial on it. I say it's a machine that the doctor uses to measure your blood pressure.
Yeah, well, why does he want to do that?
Well, your blood pressure goes up and down, see? But if it goes up and stays up, you've got hypertension.
Oh, and that's bad.
Well, it can be. Hypertension can set you up for a heart attack or a stroke. But if your doctor knows you've got hypertension, the two of you can control it.
Hey, you know all about it.
Oh, while you're working crossword puzzles, I'm reading this booklet. I picked it up yesterday at the Heart Association.
Hey, smart, smart. So what's a hollow muscular organ in five letters?
Heart, baby, heart.
Hurricane Carmen is heading west across the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico toward the city of Campeche. Carmen's winds have slowed down to about half their strength of 150 miles an hour on Monday. So far, no deaths are reported on Yucatan, but the electricity has been knocked out. Lloyd's, which is one of Britain's big clearing banks, says that it's temporarily suspended the branch manager and the foreign currency dealer in its Lugano, Switzerland branch. The action follows a discovery that Lloyd's may have lost millions of dollars from irregular foreign exchange dealings by the Swiss branch. Bob Dyke has a report from London.
The announced loss is considerable, up to $77 million, more than any bank in Switzerland has ever lost before. What became of the money is a mystery that Lloyd's London headquarters is determined to unravel. The British banking giant sent a team of auditors to Switzerland, and coincidentally, the Swiss Federal Banking Commission is also investigating the dealings of Lloyd's comparatively small Lugano branch where the loss was recorded. It is believed the money evaporated through a series of unwise or irregular foreign exchange dealings before a new Swiss banking regulation came into effect this summer. Lloyd's covered the loss with reserves from London, so its banking customers in Switzerland were not affected by the loss. Bob Dyke for CBS News, London.
More coming up.
I refuse to think about it.
To think about safety.
Not wild horses, not torture.
That's silly.
No, no. You're not going to get me to think about safety.
Oh, come on.
No, sir. Just thinking about safety makes me nervous.
Nervous.
Right. I think about all those checklists and warnings. I break out in the hives. Look at this. Look at me now.
Well, it's not that complicated.
I perspire so much I have to wear galoshes.
Just take it easy.
I don't even want to think about thinking about. What do you mean, just take it easy?
I mean just cool it a little bit. Take time to be safe. You'll be all right.
That's what you mean by thinking about safety?
Yep.
Well, that doesn't sound so bad.
It's easy.
Maybe that kind of thinking wouldn't hurt me.
Try a little bit.
All right. I'm taking it easy. I'm looking around. I'm being real cool, checking things out
there
easy,
you go.
Casual.
You got it. Now, is that so bad?
This is great.
Uh-huh.
Look, no hives, nothing.
Right.
I love it. And I'm dry and safe. This is the way to think about safety, man.
And if you don't like thinking about safety, think about where you'd be without it.
All wet and blotchy, probably.
This was a public service message from the National Safety Council.
Oh, yeah.
The Saigon Command says that Viet Cong gunners have shot down a South Vietnamese helicopter on a medical evacuation mission near Da Nang. The command claims that three of its men were killed and three others injured. The Israeli military command says that its soldiers killed two Palestinian guerrillas who tried to infiltrate at Israel from Lebanon on Monday night. The command claims that the guerrillas were planning an attack against Israeli settlements. Spain's Generalissimo Franco has taken back his powers of chief of state 6 weeks after he turned them over to his designated successor, Prince Juan Carlos. The government announcement says that the 81-year-old ruler is ready to resume his normal life after doctors pronounced him cured of his thrombophlebitis. The Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon for muscular dystrophy has raised more than $16 million in pledges, about $3 million more than last year. Lewis, thanking those who contributed, said, "When other people are in trouble, they don't look at their own problems. They look at the people who are in trouble." I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
The opening day of school will go as planned tomorrow in Salem, following a last-minute agreement reached by Salem teachers and school negotiators in the governor's office tonight. The teacher negotiators are recommending that the Salem Education Association approve the last-minute agreement. A teacher spokesman says a meeting will probably be held after school tomorrow. Teachers had threatened to strike if an agreement hadn't been reached. Negotiators met for 12 hours Saturday, but teachers rejected a pact last night. Governor McCall appealed to both sides to meet again today with his aides and a state mediator. There were no details on what the new pact contains. About 125 steelworkers struck the Union Carbide Corporation plant here in Portland today after that firm's latest contract offer was rejected. Union Carbide plant manager Robert Forgang says there are no current plans to meet with steelworkers Local 3103. Their three-year contract expired at midnight Saturday. Steelworkers Local 3010 has announced a tentative agreement with Oregon Steel Mills. Some 750 workers will vote September 10th on ratification of that contract. The new three-year proposal would boost wages by $4.25 an hour over the three-year period. Oregon's second traffic fatality of the long weekend has been reported. Police in Lincoln County say 29-year-old Floy Slowback of Albany was killed on the coast today when the pickup she was in pulled onto the shoulder of a road to allow another vehicle to pass. The shoulder gave in and the truck plunged down an embankment into the Alsea River east of Waldport. Authorities say several children in the back of the pickup escaped serious injury. 5-year-old Penelope White today staked claim to being small fry mountain climbing champion of America, if not the entire world. She completed climbing Oregon's majestic Mount Hood over the Labor Day weekend. That peak is dangerous with falling rock at this time of year because of melting ice and snow. Penelope, who has been going up mountains on her mother's back since infancy and later on her own with the help of her family, may be the youngest climber to ever scale a major mountain. Her sister Samantha startled the world a year ago by climbing with her parents Mount Kilimanjaro at the age of 8. "Wow," exclaimed Penelope when she reached the 11,236-foot summit of Mount Hood late yesterday. She signed her name, printing it because she doesn't yet know how to write on a roster sheet kept in a metal box at the peak. She was accompanied on the climb by 9-year-old Samantha and her parents, Air Force Staff Sergeant William White and his wife Michelle Jane. White is a career serviceman stationed at the Mount Hebo radar station near Tillamook on the Oregon coast. He and his wife have been hiking and climbing since he was first stationed at McCord Air Force Base near Tacoma, Washington, 11 years ago. Mrs. White says they just love the West for obvious reasons. Sergeant White says that Samantha can climb anything, but Penelope certainly is excited about climbing Mount Hood. The family tried to climb 2 weeks ago and got about 10,000 feet up before bad weather forced them back down. This time, they started out from Timberline Lodge Saturday night and got to a place known as Rock Hut at about the 6,500-foot level. They slept there overnight and then at 8:30 yesterday morning continued to the top, taking all day to reach the 11,235-foot level. 97 Sports in Major League Baseball. These are final scores. San Francisco over Los Angeles 5-3, but Cincinnati also got beat tonight by a 4-3 score. Pittsburgh took two from Philadelphia, 7-4 and 11-1. Atlanta did the same to San Diego, 8-2 and 4-0. Montreal at St. Louis and the Mets at Chicago Cubs were both rained out. In the American League, Baltimore took two from Boston, 1-0 and 1-0. The Mets, or the Yankees rather, over Milwaukee, 3-1. Milwaukee coming back in the nightcap, 3-2 over New York. The White Sox over Kansas City in 10 innings, 6-4. Minnesota beat Texas by a 9-3 score, and Oakland beat California 6-4. Cleveland at Detroit was rained out. In World Football League play, Portland beat Detroit by an 18-7 score. The New York Stars 24, Philadelphia 16, Memphis 16, Jacksonville 13, and Birmingham 8, Florida 7. In NFL exhibition play, Oakland 20 and San Francisco 19. Weather for Portland, Vancouver calls for mostly fair skies tonight and tomorrow, but cloudy then on Wednesday, lows 50 to 55 degrees, and the highs between, say, 85 on Tuesday and 75 on Wednesday. Light winds, rain chance zero through tomorrow night. Currently in downtown Portland, we have 71 degrees now at KOIN.